This is the Perfect Pup Podcast, helping you build a better relationship with your pup, presented by Pupford. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of the Perfect Pup Podcast. My name is Devin. I am very excited for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're in a brand new studio. We'll probably give you guys a more of a sneak peek of that at another time. But we also, for the first time, have a veterinarian on today. We have Dr. Silva Lynn Simpson with us. We are super excited. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I can't wait for this topic. I sent Dr. Simpson over a couple ideas. Internally, I was hoping she would pick the one that we're going to do, so I'm very glad that happened. Today's topic, we're going to talk about obesity in dogs. This is something that you maybe have heard a little bit about, but I don't think I would go out on a limb and say it's definitely not talked about enough. And so we want to help you as a pup parent understand why obesity can be a problem, what obesity looks like in America right now for dogs, you know, what issues it can cause, and of course, how you can prevent it and how you can kind of stay on top of your dog's weight management. But before we get into that, I just want to give an introduction of Dr. Simpson, just so you guys kind of know who we're going to be talking to today. So Dr. Simpson is a veterinarian, aka doctor of veterinary medicine. Her own words, she says she strives to provide the highest quality of medicine and care to her patients and their humans. She believes in a fear-free approach and in practicing evidence-based medicine. She received her undergraduate degree in veterinary sciences from the University of Arizona, and her doctorate of veterinary medicine from Texas A&M's College of Veterinary Medicine. And she also puts out vet tips almost daily on her Instagram at The Honest Vet. And we will, of course, link to all of that in the episode notes so you can go connect with her. But is there anything I missed in that introduction? I know I just completely destroyed the word veterinary three times, but that's okay. That happens. But anything that I missed or anything you want to add, like fun hobbies that I didn't mention or anything like that?
No, I mean, you did a great job introducing me. It was very, very kind to hear. But that is, you know, definitely my passion is to practice evidence-based medicine, the highest quality that I can, to improve the lives of my patients and their four-legged companions. So, if you want to know about fun hobbies, I love a good murder mystery book. I like long distance running, and I have a German Shepherd named Hugo who will be 10 in December.
Nice. Hugo, I love that name. That is so fitting for a German Shepherd. I don't know why, but that just like goes perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the name when I adopted him, but he was 4.5. And I was like, you know, but I don't want to change it. And now I'm obsessed. I think I want to name my first child Hugo, to be honest. So my first human child.
Right. That's awesome. And I want to make a note too. And many of you listeners who are longtime listeners know that, you know, here at Pupford, we definitely believe in the fear-free approach, in, you know, doing things that are backed by science. That's why we believe in positive reinforcement training methods. And again, I'm really excited for this episode because typically we talk a lot about dog training and dog behavior, and we're trying to, you know, expand that and give you pup parents more things to hear and learn and to be aware of. And so in this episode, like I said, we're going to talk about dog obesity. So let's get right to it. So the first question that I kind of have for you, you know, do you have any like facts or statistics, you know, about dog obesity? Like what, as we sit here and record this today, like what are the facts on dog obesity in the United States right now?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great place to start. So the facts are actually pretty startling once you get down into them. Currently, about 54% of all of the dogs in the United States are overweight or obese. So that makes excessive weight the number one preventable healthcare concern for domestic canines in the United States. And so that 54% is over 100 million pets in the United States. So over 100 million dogs in the United States are considered overweight or obese today. And that number is growing. It's growing rapidly. The Association of Pet Obesity Prevention, so APOP, created a little task force to help monitor and track this and hopefully combat this trend. And they noticed that the obesity rate rose from 9% in 2009 to over 20% in 2016. And that's continuing to increase. So, you know, that's already, you know, four, almost 5 years ago. I can't even imagine where that number is. I would say at least 25. And then Nationwide, who is the country's largest provider of pet health insurance, has noted that pet obesity has continued to increase for the seventh consecutive year. So it's trending upward. Of those 54% of dogs that are overweight, a little over 20% of those dogs are clinically obese. So that's a lot of dogs who are dealing with this problem, and a lot of owners who are struggling with this problem as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, data doesn't lie, right? It's a serious issue. Real quick, just since you kind of have been talking two terms here, and maybe even just in like layman's simple terms, like, so we have overweight and we have obesity. What marks the difference between those two?
Yeah. Excellent. So overweight is when you have greater than 10% of your ideal body weight, right? So, you know, a couple of pounds here, we'll say, oh, you're a little pudgy, but once you get 10% over what should be, you know, quote unquote, an ideal body weight, which is different for every single dog and different based on breed and age, you know, and veterinarians can help you determine what that should be for your pet. But overweight is considered 10 to 20% greater than ideal body weight. And obesity is when they're greater than or equal to 20% of their ideal body weight. So, you know, for example, if your dog should weigh 15 pounds, but they're 20 pounds, they would be considered obese. Or did I say that wrong? Obesity, excuse me, was greater than 20%. I'm not sure if I said that correct.
I think you got that right. Yeah.
Okay.
And that makes sense.
They're very similar words.
Oh, yeah. And I know, like, kind of put you on the spot there with that clarifying question, but I think it is good to understand, you know, that there is kind of two levels of it. And we'll talk about this more, but I'm certain with my extremely limited knowledge of medical things that when you get into that more serious tier of obesity, you run into a lot more issues. So on that note, what are some of the things that can happen to our dogs if they become obese? Because here's the thing, at the end, like, you have a dog, I have dogs, everyone listening has a dog more than likely, or is going to be getting a dog. And I think at our core, we all want to be with our dogs for as long as possible. We love them. They're part of our family. And so let's get like a little scary for a minute, right? Like, what can happen to our dogs if they become overweight and or obese?
Yeah, it's pretty scary, the stuff that can happen with obesity. And I know you mentioned you have dogs and I have a dog. So my dog will be 10 in December and I have told him that he has to live forever. So for me, I definitely want to keep him at a lean body condition to help prolong his life. The Nestle Purina Pet Care Research Institution performed a study on Labrador Retrievers. And they have proven clinically that leaner dogs live longer. Obese dogs actually will have a 15% shorter lifespan. Okay, so that's usually around 2 years, depending on the size of your dog. So I don't know if I explained that very well. It kind of came about that in a roundabout way. But there was a study that proved that leaner dogs live longer. And so they looked at all these different factors in dogs, and they took two different groups of Labrador Retrievers. They let one group of dogs just eat whatever they wanted and be at whatever body condition they wanted. The other group, they just fed 75% of what the control group ate. So it wasn't based on any other numbers. They didn't do any different exercise for those dogs. And those dogs that were, you know, allowed to eat whatever became, you know, were more likely to become obese. And those dogs, unfortunately, all passed away sooner than their counterparts. So by 10 years of age in those labs, 7 of the overweight or obese dogs had passed away, whereas in the other group, the lean dogs, only 2 had passed away. And the median lifespan was increased by 2 years in the lean dogs. So then you wonder, you know, why did these overweight or obese dogs pass away earlier? Well, we used to think of obesity or excessive body fat as just fat cells. They were just kind of hanging out. They weren't doing anything. They were just a storage for energy. But what research has actually found is that fat tissue is biologically active. So it is constantly secreting hormones. And unfortunately, a lot of the hormones that fat cells secrete are, they pro-regulate inflammatory responses. So they are inflammatory mediators in the body, and they upregulate the amount of inflammation in your body. And people always, you know, you're always hearing, oh, anti-inflammatories, we want omega-3s for anti-inflammatories, and we want these to decrease inflammation, because it's well known that inflammation or chronic high levels of inflammation cause a lot of wear and tear on your body. So fat cells are causing this upregulation of inflammation everywhere in your body. And then, of course, there's all the other things that go along with being obese. So your dogs who love to run and jump and play, all that extra weight on their body is going to put extra stress on their joints. So these dogs will typically develop arthritis much earlier in life. You typically see these dogs slow down earlier because it's painful to move and run and play the way they used to or would want to. And, you know, it kind of all has this snowball effect. So then they're moving less because they've got arthritis, so then they gain more weight. So that becomes an issue. On that same note, the wear and tear on the joints for some of our dogs, like dachshunds, corgis, those longer-backed dogs, those dogs are much higher at risk of intervertebral disc disease, you know, or they call it like almost like a broken back in dogs, or a slip disc, where their back legs can actually lose function from spinal cord disease, from bad discs or discs wearing down too soon from the obesity. So that's increased when dogs are overweight. It also leads to organ dysfunction because the organs all have to work a little bit harder to function when we're dealing with a lot of excessive body weight. So our heart has to pump. Typically our, you know, unfortunately the fat will also reside in arteries and it can lead to hypertension or excessive blood pressure. That can cause damage to our kidneys. Dogs' kidneys can wear down sooner because of that hypertension and having to process things. The liver is also another organ where we can store a lot of fat, and dogs will store a lot of fat there too as well. And that can lead to organ dysfunction because too much fat gets in the liver. Other types of things that we've seen would be an increase in cancer rates, probably because of that inflammation just constantly being upregulated. These dogs are at higher risks of developing obesity. These dogs are at higher risk of also suffering from heat stress or heat exhaustion. They're more likely to experience shock from heat or other just general means because their bodies are less able to compensate for all the changes that happen to them very rapidly from all these other issues that excessive fat, can add to the body. So that's kind of a huge laundry list. There's other little things. And these dogs are at higher risk of developing bladder stones. And I'm not quite sure exactly the science behind that. I would believe it's due to the inflammation as well. But all of these different things, you know, can not only affect our dog's lifespan, right? So, you know, dogs who suffer from all these, they, you know, some of these problems can become life-threatening. But this also decreases their quality of life. Like I mentioned, these dogs who get arthritis earlier are unable to move or play the way they might want to because they hurt. Or these dogs who become diabetic. Sorry, diabetes is another one I forgot to mention. These dogs now have to get insulin injections every day and have to eat very strict meals. They can't have little treats or snacks the way you'd want to. You have to be very, very cautious with what they eat or where they go or who watches them. If they get any of these conditions, really, so if they got bladder stones and had to get surgery for that, all of these different things can really decrease the longevity and quality of their life. And then the last thing, not only would their lifespan be shorter, be a little bit harder, you know, they'd face other obstacles that their lean counterparts might not experience. But that's also costly to an owner, okay? So all of these different conditions that I mentioned, the veterinary bills can really rack up from some of these diseases and conditions. And so just by simply keeping your dog lean, you can help to prevent some of these added veterinary costs. And a lot of our medications are also dosed on a body weight basis and a milligram per kilogram of body weight. So even your monthly heartworm, flea, and tick prevention, if your dog is obese, that might kick them into the next weight range of the product. And then you have to pay more for that product. So a lot of negatives surrounding pet obesity, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you kept talking about the things that can happen, because I know that was a long list, and I know that there was a lot of stuff there, and it's a lot to mentally digest, but it's like, it's important that we know these things. And I mean, that's the big reason why we're doing this episode, is we want to bring awareness, because I think for most people, if not all people, you know, if there is a problem, before you can fix it, you have to be aware of it. You have to be aware that like pet obesity is a problem. This is what can happen to your dog. I'll give like a real quick story. So we have he's now 14 and a half. He's a puggle. His name's Buddy. He's the best dog on the planet. But it's my wife's dog from when she was like a kid, and he lived with her dad until we had a home where we could have him. And when we brought him, he was overweight. I don't think he was quite to the obese side of things, but he was definitely overweight. And he moved around slower. He was starting to like just kind of slow down, be a little bit sluggish. You could tell it was hard on his joints. And, you know, we went to our vet and we said, hey, what do we do? You know, like, and we started taking some steps, and he has improved dramatically since he's been at a lean weight. And so that kind of leads as well into my next question of, and maybe it's just as simple of an answer as go talk to your vet, but how can people know if their dog is overweight?
Yeah, great point. So it is actually very challenging for a lot of owners to notice that their dog is overweight. And that does not mean that they are bad owners. I think a lot of people, you know, think that if the veterinarian tells them their dog is fat, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and they take that a little personally. But it does not mean that you've done anything wrong. I'll always start by saying that. But often we're not tracking our pet's weight, and we see them every day. I look at my dog every day. And so if they're slowly changing over time, you don't necessarily notice that weight gain because you see them every day and you're used to it, as opposed to maybe your mom comes over and sees your pet. And then 6 months later, she comes over and she's like, oh my God, your dog got really fat. So, you know, it's harder for us to notice those things. Oftentimes pets are getting weighed maybe once a year, maybe when they go in for their annual vaccines. Hopefully they go in at least, you know, once a year for a routine veterinary visit. And that's probably the only time they're getting weighed. And as veterinarians, we see that pretty often where a pet will come in, you know, they've come in from, you know, now they're 6 years old, and every single year they've been 20 pounds, and then all of a sudden they're 28, and you're like, ooh, okay, metabolism's probably slowing down, or there's been a change in their lifestyle, or something's happened. But that's usually when you catch it. So teaching, you know, clients and pet parents, to be able to assess what we call a body condition score is super helpful for being able to tell if your dog is overweight. And you might not be able to know, you know, exactly what your dog's ideal body condition should be, but you might have a good idea based on what their weight has been. So like I mentioned that, you know, my example was that 20-pound dog. So if he's been steadily 20 pounds since he hit, you know, maturity or went through puberty, you know, and then suddenly he's 28, you're like, well, 20 was probably closer to his ideal body weight. I want him back towards that. But if you're not really sure what that is, you can assess their body condition score. So this is a number on a scale of 1 to 9. It's really used by veterinarians to mark on the dog's, you know, medical chart what their body condition score was. So that way, when I look back at that 20-pound dog's records, I can see that he was a body condition score of 4 or 5, which is ideal. So you want them at 4 or 5. And then I can say, okay, at 28, he's a 7, right? So I can tell, like, that's how veterinarians can kind of communicate with each other and kind of keep some consistency in what we're seeing and what these numbers actually mean. Because like I mentioned, 20 pounds for one dog might be perfect, whereas 20 pounds for another dog could be really large or really small. So you have to kind of take all these things with a grain of salt and match your numbers together. So in order to assess a dog's body condition score, the first thing that I do is I want to be able to feel their ribs, or I palpate down their thoracic area, their chest area. And my analogy is to make my hand into a fist, and taking my finger, my, you know, pointer finger from my other hand, if I rub it over my knuckles when my hand is closed, you know, those bony knuckles, I can see that's too skinny, right? The ribs shouldn't feel like jutting out at me like this. And then if I go to the back of my hand and rub my finger across the back of my hand, and I can't feel any difference, you know, it's kind of smooth, the back of your hand, like right below your wrist, I say that's too fat, right? I should be able to feel something. So then if you go to, you know, towards your fingers after your knuckles and you rub your hands over it, you should be able to feel the space between each rib. So I can say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can count those ribs. So the ribs should be, you know, you can feel them. You can easily distinguish the space between each rib, but they're not jutting out at you. When your dog stretches out really long, you might be able to see their ribs just a little bit, and that's totally fine. We've become so conditioned to seeing overweight or obese dogs, since half the dogs in the United States are overweight, that we forget that we should actually be able to see dog's ribs a little bit. So then when someone, you know, you see a dog's ribs, you're like, oh my gosh, the dog is so skinny. But as long as they're not jutting out at you, you actually do want to be able to see a little bit of the rib when they, you know, when they're stretched out or when they're running, totally normal. And then when you get to the back of their rib cage, you know, what you consider that lumbar spine or that little abdomen area, when you're looking at the dog's top line, so you're standing over the dog and you're looking down, you want to see where that rib cage ends. They should have a nice distinct waist there. And then, you know, sometimes when they're overweight or even when they're obese, they kind of start to round out, right? But when they're overweight, they kind of just become more of a little cylinder. So from the point of the shoulder back to the hips will be one straight line. You can no longer identify that little waist. And then looking at the dog from the profile is the last piece of that body condition scoring system. So when the dog is, you know, you're standing and looking at them against a wall and they're facing, like, I guess it would be, you know, perpendicular to you. So you're looking at them and kind of the same thing. You're looking for what we call an abdominal tuck. So where the rib cage ends, just past that 13th rib, you should see the stomach tuck up into the abdomen area. Now, again, if they turn into a cylinder there, they're probably overweight. And then if the, you know, if the belly hangs down a little bit, you know, they're probably obese. Sometimes our obese pets will also have fat deposits over kind of their hips and rump area. And I've actually seen that get so big that it was falling over, like off their tail, and kind of from the top of the hips, just like hanging over past their tail. And they could barely pick their tail up because all the fat was laying on it. So that's an extreme case. But just looking for those three things, the feeling the ribs, the distinct rib cage, and then the abdominal tuck, those things can be really good indicators of how your dog is doing. And then again, you know, just making sure you don't go to the other extreme, which is too skinny. So you don't want bones jutting out at you. But if you took your dog to the veterinarian, your veterinarian could find all those bony landmarks and palpate them easily.
That's amazing information. And I will do my best in the recap too for listeners who are like, okay, I want to get a text recap. We'll put all of that in the episode notes, potentially even try and include graphic. I know that there are some graphics out there that kind of show what you just described. Am I correct in that?
Yes. And I can actually share one with you after this, if you'd like. There's some excellent diagrams out there for owners to be able to use at home.
Perfect. So we will do that. And to make sure that everyone can really kind of grasp all of what we just talked about there, because, you know, it's super important. And I think, again, we talked about this on a previous podcast with Nicole Ellis, who's a dog trainer. And, you know, we talked about, like, part of like being a pup parent is just like being aware of your dog's physical needs. Like, we think so much about dog training and behavior that sometimes we forget about the physical side of things. So I think this is a super good reminder for all of us. So I do this almost every episode. We hear something and then I can envision these pup parents on the other end who are like, oh no, you just described my dog as potentially being overweight, or, you know, like, I'm concerned. So what can, and maybe we can look at it from the lens of, you know, your dog's already overweight, but also just like generally for pup parents, like, what can we do to make sure that our dogs do not become obese? And if they are, like, what can we do to help them lose weight in a healthy manner?
Yeah. So I think you kind of gave me two questions there at the end. So kind of first one, we first kind of discussed what can we do once our dogs are overweight, but then you also mentioned what can we do to keep them from becoming overweight. And so some of those things kind of go together. And I'll kind of say the first thing I always tell my pet parents to do, whether this is a dog that we are just transitioning off of puppy food to adult food, or whether this is a dog who's obese, portion control has been found to be the leading issue and whether or not dogs become obese and to help them lose weight. So I always, always tell my owners to do one thing, and that's to take the back of the bag of dog food they're feeding, or the can, or whatever they're feeding. If they're getting, you know, home delivered food now, there's so many different things. But whatever you're feeding, you should, it should come with a, some kind of chart, some kind of basic guideline. And it's based on ideal body weight. So if the dog is currently at a good body weight, you're going to want to feed him for what he is, or her, excuse me, what they are right now. Now, if your dog is overweight or obese, you're still going to feed them for their ideal body weight based on that back of the bag. So sometimes people are like, oh, well, my dog's, you know, 30 pounds, so I'm going to feed them the cup of food a day that it recommends here. But that 30 pounds might not be appropriate for that dog because that dog's obese. So first you want to kind of say, am I feeding the right amount of food for my dog's ideal body weight? That's kind of the, you know, the biggest issue. And the problem, a lot of dogs become obese because owners simply aren't really paying attention to how much they're feeding. I grew up on a farm and our dog's got one coffee can of food in the morning and at night. I have no idea. I think it was probably roughly 2 cups, but like, that's just, my family's just used a scooper and that's what the dogs got. And they did well. So,
but measurement on the back that said one coffee cup.
Yeah, no, that's not an actual unit of measurement just yet. I think it's very subjective. So, but I think a lot of owners do that same thing. I think they just have a scooper, they scoop some out, or they feed him, they feed the dog and he still seems a little hungry, so they feed him some more. So that's kind of, you know, how you can prevent obesity, is that portion control, and how you can begin to combat obesity. It's firstly, you've got to make sure you're feeding no more than the recommended daily amount. And now that's a guideline. That's not a strict rule. So every single dog is different. They all have different genetics. They all have different metabolisms. And some of these dogs who become obese, obesity can sometimes be a marker of disease itself. So they could have a thyroid issue, things like that. So if your dog is obese and you want them to lose weight, check the portions, you know, and then if you are feeding the correct amount and they're still gaining weight, or they're not losing weight as expected, you know, check and see, do I need to increase their activity? Because at the end of the day, it's all about calories in versus calories out. So maybe you just to say, okay, so we don't normally go on walks. Let's start at 5 minutes twice a day. We're going to do short walks because I don't want to push him or her too far. And, you know, like I talked about, those dogs can get heat exhaustion faster. Those dogs might have achy joints, so you don't want to push them too far. Start with 5 minutes twice a day. And then once a week, increase that by another 5 minutes. So you could do 10 minutes twice a day. You can go up to 15 minutes twice a day. And then of course there's other types of exercise as well. So be it, you know, you guys go hiking together, swimming is my favorite exercise for dogs. It's so good for their joints. Of course, you know, every dog's different. So I don't recommend maybe swimming with a French bulldog unless they've got a life jacket, but you know, there's lots of options for dogs to exercise. So you want to make sure they're exercising appropriately. And then you also want to make sure that if you're working on weight loss, you need to track it, because you need to know that what you're doing is working or isn't working so you can make adjustments. So whether the first thing you do is just cut back the food to make sure you're feeding at the appropriate rate, if they're still not losing weight, you try exercising a little bit. But it's important to monitor their weight. I like to do weekly or bi-weekly. There are tons of scales for at home. All veterinary clinics have a scale. They'll let you come in for free. If you have a relationship with that clinic, just say, I just want to come by, weigh my dog today. And, you know, even in the COVID area, they'll still let you weigh your dog. So you can go by and weigh them. Once a month is the minimum, I'll say. You know, you have to weigh at least once a month to make sure you're not losing weight too quickly, right? Because that can be a problem. But you want to make sure that what you're doing is working, or do you need to change the way you're doing it? So then let's say, you know, you've increased the exercise, you've checked your portion control. Other things that you can be doing are treats, you know, managing the way you give treats. So treats should make up no more than 10% of a dog's daily caloric intake. So that's one way you can prevent your dog from becoming obese, but also another thing you can manage or monitor while you're trying to work on weight loss. And I will tell you right now, my dog gets a lot of treats. He's very spoiled. Whenever I get a snack, he gets a snack. I feel very guilty if I go to the pantry and don't get anything for him. But it's important to take stock of the caloric density of some of the treats that you're giving. So a piece of bacon or a big chunk of cheese, you know, those are going to be a little bit more calorically dense. But there are other treats, you know, vegetables make wonderful treats for dogs, and dogs can and will eat steamed or plain veggies. My dog loves carrots. We often have carrots together, but broccoli, green beans, cauliflower, zucchini, all of these things are healthy treats for dogs that have very few, very minimal calories. And I actually tell some pet parents, so they say, oh, I've cut back my dog's food, but now he just seems so hungry. Well, you can mix in some of these veggies with their meal as well. Buy a can of green beans, you know, and mix half the can of green beans in there with the food. So they're eating more, but they're not getting as many calories as they were getting before. And so that might be another thing that you're doing. And then your dog is still maybe not losing weight the way you'd expect, or gaining weight. And so obviously be honest with yourself, make sure you're doing these things, but then you might want to go, you know, have your dog's blood work checked, because there could be an underlying condition that could be making it difficult for them to lose weight. Hypothyroidism is the leading cause, is the number one endocrine disorder of dogs in general. And so, sometimes I have owners who are like, I'm doing everything and we're not losing any weight and I don't know what to do. And I say, let's just check, because you might be, you know, fighting a losing battle. So sometimes just checking that can be helpful. But obviously I do recommend, you know, trying the other things first, or, you know, unless you're very certain or there's other clinical signs. But yeah, I think going back to moderate portion control, treat moderation, and exercise are the basic steps to be doing to make sure your pet is losing weight, and to also keep your dog from becoming obese. And then there are also scientifically formulated nutritional products from amazing science-based companies to help pets lose weight. So these are often higher in fiber to help dogs feel full and to help them feel satisfied. So like Hill's Prescription Diet, they have a metabolic one to help increase the metabolism, make the dogs feel full. Royal Canin has one that's called Satiety Support. So again, same concept. And then Purina has an overweight management diet as well. And I will admit, for a period of time there in veterinary school, my dog got a little bit pudgy because I wasn't able to give him the exercise that he deserved, unfortunately, that period of in my life. And I hadn't changed the way he was eating. And so I put him on an overweight management diet for a few months, and he dropped the weight pretty readily. And then we went right back to where we were before. and then we kept exercising, so he didn't gain the weight back. And one more point, sorry, I tend to go on and on, but, Good. Oh, and I think I just spaced on what I was going to say. There was one more thing, but maybe it'll come back.
Yeah. I'll kind of chime in here and just like, you know, that I always like to pull out like themes or like general, like concepts. Cause I think, you know, a lot of times as pup parents, it's overwhelming. There's so many things to look at between health and behavior and, you know, what toys should I buy, all those things. But like the concept is like, be aware and be, you know, be keep, like keep track of what's happening with your dog. And then, like you said, I think those ways to help prevent obesity and also to, you know, if your dog is obese, to help them lose weight, like they're not super complex, right? Like make sure you're feeding the right amount, limit treat intake and be aware of it, and exercise. You know, it's similar to us humans in a lot of ways. Like those simple things really are what make a big difference. And I am going to give a mini plug for Pupford products. You know, I just want to mention that when we were creating our training treats in particular, we were like extremely aware of this obesity problem. And part of why we made the training treats the way that we did is because we don't want to contribute to that. Our training treats are less than 1 kcal per treat. And our other treats, even our bigger ones, you know, we put the information there as to how many kcals your dog is going to get by consuming our treats. And so I personally, like, it's something that we believe in very strongly at Pupford of, you know, we're a treat company, but at the same time, we are going to tell you straight up, don't let treats make up more than 10% of your dog's daily caloric intake. It's something to be aware of. Let's kind of go to the last one. And then if that thought came back to you, you can add that in as well. But you talked about like exercise, portion control. Do you have like any last or like a final tip for just like something you can do every day? Cause I know you said, you know, once a month, you know, like portion control, be aware of it at least, but like, what's one thing that people can do every day to like make sure that their dog is staying in tip-top shape. And this might not be specific to weight management. It might just be more like dog health in general, whatever you want it to be. I know I kind of put you on the spot there. But.
No, that's great. And you know, I think it's really important to have one thing you do with your dog every day and you remember to do it every day, because that really strengthens the human-animal bond. So, and that might be different for every single dog. Like I mentioned before, some dogs enjoy going on a jog with you. Some dogs don't. Some dogs love fetch. Some dogs don't. Some dogs love a walk. So I actually always tell my owners to pick one thing and do it every day for at least 5 minutes, right? So maybe that's brushing your dog for 5 minutes a day, but make sure you schedule that time in with your dog to strengthen their bond, to give them something that you guys do together every day that they look forward to. I know when I'm gone at work, I know that my dog is just there waiting for me to come home. And if I come home and I'm like, oh, I still have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this, and you're just gonna have to wait till later. When is he getting anything out of his day? You know, his favorite part of the day is when I come home and I do whatever that thing is with him for at least 5 minutes. And for me and Hugo, he lives, breathes, and worships fetch and ball. Ball is life. So we do at least 10 minutes of fetch every day. And I know, you know, it's a double-edged sword, you know, it's good exercise, but it can be hard on the joints from all the running and jumping, but he loves it. He loves it. And so that's, it's a risk we're going to take because he is obsessed with ball. So every single day we do ball together for 10 days or 10 minutes. Oh my goodness. And then I also brush him once a week. He's a German Shepherd, so I have a Furminator. Super important for our bond, but doing both those things. So one, he's getting the exercise, and when I'm brushing him every week, I can take stock of, oh gosh, you know, it's getting a little harder to feel his ribs. I should, you know, be a little conscious of the treats that I give him this week and cut back on some of those, you know, pieces of cheese or whatever he's been, you know, munching on with me. And I was the little thought I had came back. So it is really essentially the same for humans and for dogs losing weight, right? We all know it's calories in versus calories out. And that's always easier said than done, because you and I, we have these things. We have these opposable thumbs and these fingers. Sorry, I know it's a podcast, but we have access to food whenever we want it. We can order food on our phone. We can open up the fridge and get it. We can go to the pantry and we can get some chips. We might be dieting, and then at 10 o'clock at night, our stomach grumbles and we can't sleep because we're thinking about that piece of cake. So we're going to go get it. Luckily, and you know, unfortunately for them, but fortunately for us, our canine companions cannot help themselves to the, well, they shouldn't be able to help themselves to the fridge. Sometimes they get into the pantry or to the trash. But again, you know what I'm saying? It's easier because we, as humans, we have power over what they're taking in every day. It's ultimately up to us and it's our responsibility. And so that actually makes it a lot easier because we can really hold our pets accountable for what they're taking in.
I love it. That's a great final point that, you know, a lot, it comes back to us. We talk about this with dog training all the time. No matter how much you think your dog is just going to learn how to walk calmly on a leash on their own, you have to put the effort in. You have to be the person facilitating it. And it's the same for our dog's weight. I have learned a ton on this episode. I like I said, it's a little scary, and it's I'm glad we're talking about it though, because it's something that more and more people need to be aware of, and we need to, you know, keep track of our dog's weight and know what's happening with them. So on that note, thank you so much for coming on. I have been excited to, you know, have you on individually, but just as a vet as well, and to get that expertise. You know, I'm not a vet. I want to hear it from you, the expert. So we appreciate you so much coming on this episode.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm happy to come back anytime. Excuse me. I'm happy to come back anytime to chat about any other topics that you might have.
Awesome. And for those of you who are listening and enjoyed this episode, you know, if you do have ideas for what you'd like us to talk about on the dog health side of things, please either message us on you know, Instagram, Facebook. You can send us an email, hello@pupford.com, whatever it might be. And I say this every episode, but please leave us reviews, leave us feedback. I personally look at all of them. I love hearing your ideas. I love hearing the new things. So on that note, thank you everyone for listening/watching, and we will catch you on the next episode.